estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 551. I'm Adam, and the file that where my quote is residing is taking a little bit of time to load up. So I'm just trying to do a little bit of filling, rather like we had last week. And now I can do the quote that I was going to do, which is, "We are not fools." And here's Mary Lang.
Please, point a gun at me if it helps you relax.
Oh, I've got one here somewhere, Mary. I don't know if it's... Is that good enough? I don't know if it's set to stun or kill. Are you still there? Oh, dear. Right, and Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Would you like me to repeat the question?
No. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Reminder, do not interact with headless monks without divine permission.
I wish I hadn't said that now. Right, then. I'm just trying to make sure I get this phaser set to...
How about don't slump? It's bad for your spine.
Is that the stun setting?
I don't know. This was a very difficult one to come up with a quote because there are so many good quotes.
Oh, there are. I've got like five of them written down. You know, it's really hard to pick.
Yes, there were quite a few good quotes in this particular story. Lillian Roberts says, "Hi, and where can I get a tribble?" Well, if you go to the Battersea Tribble Home, I'm sure they've got plenty available there. But bear in mind, you only need one, and do not feed them Quadro Triticale.
Do not feed them after dark. Don't get them
they're
wet.
They're not gremlins. They're just tribbles. She really does want to know where you can get a tribble from. Actually, there's a website, and I can't remember what it is. There was a tag on this tribble that she told that it's a Star Trek Appreciation Society, I think. All right. It's Lillian. Look, you like the name Lillian? Yeah. You're all right. I told you to shut up, haven't I? If you don't shut up, I shall shoot you. No, that's Monty Python, isn't it? Oh, you shut up now. Good. Goodbye. Anyway. Oh, dear.
Just
landed on
off?
Star. Pardon? They're very robust. Don't worry. I did lob it over my shoulder, but it's very robust. It doesn't like being lobbed over the shoulder. And sorry, Lillian. I know you'll find that a bit offensive. I will retrieve the tribble during the show just to prove the tribble's okay. And doesn't hold grudges for being thrown over people's shoulders either, for that matter. Right, this week we're going to be reviewing A Good Man Goes to War in the following way. So it began with a little sort of recap of the last few episodes. And then... he's here! It's Shen Bubbler! Who obviously needs some sort of lozenge.
The crowd roars.
Does it?
Yeah, I don't know what they're roaring about.
Hello, Ben.
Good evening, everybody. Let me turn my headphones up so I can hear you.
Your said phones.
Good afternoon.
Well, it might be for you, but it wasn't for me.
No, I watched that. It was a very good match. Very good match indeed. Arsenal got a bit lucky at the end, but a very good match.
Shut your face, bottom of the table, boy. Let's move on.
Yeah, I know. Terrible, isn't it?
Right.
Should get rid of the manager. What do you reckon, Ben?
We got exactly two bits of feedback.
Good.
Wow.
Lillian Robbins said, "It's so cute. As soon as Ben came on the show..." I think calling him an it is a bit rude, actually, Lillian, to be fair. But it's so cute.
You're supposed to go, it's...
Did. Anyway, moving on. So, yes, A Good Man Goes to War begins with... It's a little baby Rodney in a thing with a name on it. It says Melody Pond.
Rodney.
It's Amy holding on to a little baby Rodney's hand. And looking quite... She does look very radiant in these just having given birth scenes. And then we have Eye Patch Lady being all menacing and horrible and... clearly wants to take the baby away. Behind Eye Patch Lady are some... They look like the sort of traitors from the TV show The Traitors, with those hoods over their faces like that. But apparently, even though they look like they've got heads, they're headless. Headless monks. Is it headless monks? I think it is, isn't it? Anyway, she's been all menacing, being very horrible to Amy, who's just given birth to to this little baby. And then we see a flash of Roman sort of cloak, which because Romy, Rory, sorry, is cosplaying a Roman again, and a little fleeting appearance from some Cybermen. These are the, you know, what are those RTD Cybermen called? Something Industries.
Cybermen.
Cybers these, Industries,
these,
that's right.
These don't seem to, these don't have the C.
No, do they?
They have plain circles on their chest, which means they're not Cybers.
So, but they do look the same Iberman, apart from that, don't they?
Uarbermen. That's Cybermen from the West Country you drink.
Yeah. Well, John Davey, who is a well-known Cyberman, is indeed from the West Country.
And John Davey is one of those.
I know that. I've always said it.
He was not the one who was shown on the Confidential, though.
Thank you for that, Kirby.
You can see him wandering around in the Confidential.
Thank you, Kirby. Anyway, so the Rory's all being all badass and sort of fighting a few aliens.
Hold on. Kirby, were his scenes deleted?
Aha! Yeah, anyway, so there's a very long drawn-out scene of Amy being all mumsy and saying how much she loves the baby.
And we have a quick pan over and notice that someone from the Enterprise is there.
That would be Lorna Bucket, isn't it, who also plays a character in Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And I, in fact, had my picture taken with as well at Wells Comic Con. You didn't know that, did you?
Yes, I did. Did you?
Christina Chong, I think the actress is called.
Were you referencing her, though, as the Doctor Who character or Star Trek character?
Both. Now, in this instance, because we're talking about this episode, it's obviously the Doctor Who character. But in the photo, where it was virtually her whole main cast of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, it would be Star Trek. Moving on. Oh, yeah, so Rory's being badass. I love the line where he goes, "Where is my wife?" In fact, I'm going to play it because I love it so much. Here we go.
I have a message and a question. A message from the Doctor and a question from me. Where is my wife?
Oh, she's upstairs having a bath, so don't worry about it, Rory. Anyway.
And I managed to position my DVD to almost exactly while he's saying that, like half a second off while you were playing that.
He does sound about as menacing as a child with a plastic spork.
A bit mean, but funny. Anyway, so and then we have the title sequence, and Arthur Dorville gets a mention in the title sequence. And then the next scene is a couple of the clergy who are married and banging on about being a gay couple in the...
Were the thin, fat, gay, married Anglican...
That's it, yeah, they had a title, didn't they, that they gave themselves.
Yes, that was one of my quotes.
Oh, okay. While they're sort of loitering around chatting to each other, Lorna Bucket is sort of embroidering a name into a little bit of cloth, and then we meet a couple of other clergy soldiery people who are just having a sort of random conversation, and they're all just being soldiery clergy people, and Lorna's sort of also a clergy soldiery person, but slightly sort of looks slightly detached from what's going on, because she seems to have another, you know, another motive for being there. It's probably to find the Doctor, I think, as far as I'm... Because everybody seems to want to know where the Doctor is.
It's because she was an actress and she was being paid.
Yeah, well, she's also trying to find the Doctor. And we see a lot of these hooded, allegedly headless monks. There's a little hint, because there's some boxes also, which we don't actually see the contents of just yet.
Yeah, what's in all the boxes?
Well, you know, it's heads. Heads, isn't it?
I like the presents. Color red. You're not trying to cover up some stains, are you? Yeah.
It was undelivered Christmas presents from Amazon.
Anyway, meanwhile, back in London, this is the first time we actually meet the... what's it called again?
Paso Doble.
Maris Piper. No. What are they called again, Kirby? The something something gang. Paternostra.
Paternostra.
Is that it? Paternostra. I nearly got it right. Which is obviously.
Well, they're not the gang yet because Strax hasn't joined them yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the beginnings of it. I have to say, yes. I always found the actress that plays the maid, whose character name I forget, very
Jenny,
very sexy. I certainly don't find Niamh McIntosh in a Silurian outfit particularly sexy, but I do quite enjoy the character and stuff. Anyway, the TARDIS is in her drawing room. Thank you. The TARDIS is in her drawing room, and of course they're still looking for the Doctor. Next scene is a battle zone in what looks like
a cement factory.
What?
It's a cement factory instead of a quarry. Is where it was filmed.
Okay, a battle zone in what looks like the miserable.
A cement quarry.
What?
It looks like a cement quarry.
Okay. Anyway, and this little boy is a bit hurt. So, and it just happens that they've got a nurse who happens to be a Sontaran who's just serving a sentence because he was very naughty apparently, and his sentence was to be a nurse, and that's obviously Strax, who is very funny and meant to be, and very well played by an actor called Dan Starkey. I don't know if actually you've heard of him, Kirby.
No, never.
Is he your cousin?
What?
Oh, I'm sure somewhere down the line he is.
Of course he is, Mary.
The next scene.
This particular cement factory was also the planet of the Ood.
Thank you for that. The next scene at the Millennium Stadium.
Which isn't a cement factory.
No, it's a Millennium Stadium. Where,
no, it's made of cement.
Riversong,
it's an ex-cement factory. Yeah.
Where Riversong is a little drunk and sort of dancing along the concourse area of the Millennium Stadium and saying that, no, don't worry, I'm breaking in, not breaking out, to the alarms that are going off. There's a couple of little side episodes called Space and Time, isn't there, that where we see a bit of a time with the Doctor in between then and now. Is that right? I haven't seen Space and Time for a little while, but I seem to remember there being.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen them too.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then Rory turns up, and I love. And everybody, apart from me, everybody hates Alex Kingston, but there's subtleties in this particular scene when she sees Rory and knows
what
who he is, of course.
Later on,
we know why she was doing these scenes, but I just think when you know their relationship and stuff like that. It makes the scene quite powerful, and I think
Who
Alex
hates
Kingston
her?
Plays.
Why would they even hate her?
I hate her.
I think she plays the scene.
You hate everyone.
You know me so well.
I think she plays that scene really well, and Rory wants her to come with her, but she says she can't yet because the Doctor will know at the end of what happens who he is.
She should have walked up to him and said the same thing that the other Jenny said when she first saw the Doctor after being born. Hello, Dad.
She does say hello, Dad, at some point, but not in this episode.
Not in this episode.
No. I was trying to open up my jingles folder because I got put off by Kirby. So while we're doing this...
It's all my fault. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Alex does a great job when she does meet with Rory, you know, and realizes that this is her dad, you know.
Yeah. And I don't think they have actually met yet, have they, in the episode we've seen in that part of her timeline. Mm-hmm. She's certainly met Amy, but especially when a little girl meets her daddy dressed in a Roman costume. But, odd. Right, so... So the next bit of the story we have.
Hello, this is Simon Fisherbagger, and welcome to the 20 Megabyte podcast.
Yes, thank you, Simon. Who is this is the most prominent episode we have for Doreen Moldavar in, i.e., friend of the show, Simon Fisherbagger, and he's being all Doreen-y, and I'm just going to move forward here, trying to do a deal with the clerics. But nothing much happens after that. And then the TARDIS turns up, and we have a fairly Doctor Light episode, this, because the Doctor himself doesn't really appear properly until the second half of the episode. But there's a really weird shadow in the scene where Dorian sort of sees the TARDIS. It doesn't look anything like the Doctor. I thought he'd regenerated at this point. It was maybe one of the later Doctors. Just stands sideways to show he's got a very prominent bow tie. Anyway, moving on, there's all this stuff going on, and then there's a bit of a battle goes on after Lorna Bucket gifts Amy a little bit of embroidery that what she'd done. And it doesn't quite get beamed up to the Enterprise at this point, Kirby, before you say anything.
I didn't say anything.
and it also really wasn't good enough to win the Intergalactic Sewing Bee either.
It wasn't either. Anyway. So there's lots of shouting and, oh, where's the Doctor, da-da-da-da-da, and all the headless monks are headless. And,
where's the Doctor?
And then what's this really...
That kind of headless monk.
Then the Doctor is one of the headless monks. Well, he's not actually headless, but he's got he's one of the... He's in the costume and stuff and
reveals himself. And you couldn't see, because it was like, you know, he was like, oh, what a clever trick.
When I say he reveals himself, it's not quite what you're thinking. It's a bit like Here Comes the Clip.
Afraid. And they can never, ever be surprised.
There he is. I can guess that's the Doctor surprising them. And must admit, Lorna Bucket does do a few gushing facial expressions when she sees the Doctor. And there's so all this is being watched by everybody, including the Jenny and what's the Silurian called? Madame Vastra, isn't it? Something like that.
Yes,
yes, it is.
Yeah, remember I get myself a ding. Thank
well you. Done for remembering a name of a person of a TV show that you do a podcast about.
Thank you. You know I'm not good with names. Anyway, moving forward, the Doctor and Rory kick ass. And then we see, now this would have been a good quiz question because I'd forgotten this. How many episodes of Doctor Who does Hugh Bonneville appear in?
Seven.
Well, it's two now. Well, it might even be three if I remember later on anything. Well, wasn't it? I'd forgotten he was in this. What?
It might be three.
It might be three, yeah.
I think the character appears one other time.
Yes.
But I still think it's seven.
I don't think Paddington's in this one, is he?
Yes.
Oh,
he is. No. He's in The Curse of the Black Bear.
Anyway, so, I'm just going to move on a bit here. The gang are all united and the Doctor is in full flow. And essentially, Francis Barber has to give... That is Francis Barber, isn't it, Kirby?
Yes.
Dempsey or Makepeace.
Has to give the baby back to Amy, who brandishes a toothbrush in one of the scenes where she's being potentially threatened. But who comes through the door with the baby? Daddy, who's all emotional because she's holding his daughter. I can vouch for that, yes. If you're going to hold your daughter as a baby, it does have an effect on your eyes. It does make them go a bit leaky. Just saying.
Okay, he was in only two episodes as
the baby as a girl for starters, and as a baby probably only in a couple of episodes. Yes, Kirby. Yeah. What?
No, I was talking about Hugh Bonneville. Yeah, the baby.
That was about 10 minutes ago.
It's twins, and they're a boy and a girl.
Thank you
Hugh
for that.
Bonneville was in two episodes that he was credited for, but he was also as a Dalek five times that he was uncredited for, so I'm right.
So they're all together and it's all nice, they're all back together again, and the Doctor turns up and goes, oh, it's a baby. It's a little baby, Rodney. And then he sniffs Amy. strange, but very Doctorish. The clergy soldiers are sort of bundled away by Madame Vastra and the Doctor's little army of, cronies and stuff. And Amy and Rory sort of say hello to everybody. And
uncredited cast, Baby Melody Pond, Harrison and Madison Mortimer.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kirby.
The
Doctor gifts Amy and Rory a little cot. What he had inside the TARDIS, Apparently it was his cot, not his kid's cot.
And I remember, even though I wasn't able to listen to us talk about this story because it's missing from Podbean.
What?
But I remember 11 years ago going, what's a cot? Because we don't call cribs cots.
Right.
What's a cot? Oh.
Ben, explain what a cot is because Deb's not there.
Oh, I know what it is now.
Oh, but I mean, even then, you've never heard the term before?
Not as a elevated kind of thing for an adult to sleep on, not as a crib.
Oh.
Well, Kirby, you've just clearly never lived.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's the first thing you learn when you leave elementary school, isn't it? What a cot and a crib is. A crib's where you hang, isn't that right? And a cot is where you sleep when you're a baby.
Gone all quiet, isn't it? It's great for a audio presentation. Right then, so what episode are you moaning about, by the way, that apparently isn't on Podbean anymore?
Hang on.
Oh, God.
You shrugged at me.
I love the way you're... I shrugged at you because you asked me when I was in the middle of work. What?
I know. Is that episode 60?
I've got that one.
I've got this one. It's this one, isn't it?
Be warned, the following episode contains spoilers, so if you have not watched A Good Man Goes to War, then listen to this podcast after you have.
There you go, you've heard it now. It's probably just well, Kirby, because What?
First of all, I tried to do it, and also Robert tried, and it would not play for either of us.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't. I have all the episodes on my desktop, so it does play for me. But anyway, that was quite a long one, Kirby.
Did you try to play it on Podbean?
No, because it's not on Podbean. I'm just saying, I asked you which episode it was, so I can put that one on.
So you will fix the problem.
If I feel like it, yes, I'll fix it. If you're a good boy, I'll consider doing that. But in the meantime, Good Man Goes to War. Anyway, so they're all sort of, the doctor's given them his cot and says cuckoo to the baby. And then it all goes a bit wrong. A bit later, after they've sort of had a little, little bond. Lorna Bucket is comes in and under armed guard. The doctor goes up to Dorian, who's trying to steer the spaceship, I think. And then it all goes a bit pear-shaped for them because it turns out after the doctor's got a bit angry and Dorian's sort of more or less got his head chopped off, is that the baby... it's going to go splat, isn't it, Mary? It's in fact disconnected from the real baby, and it's a ganger, and it goes weak.
It's a ganger, yeah.
And that's sort of...
should have seen that coming.
Should have seen it coming. What I forgot to mention was the original idea of the swords that the headless monks have. Are they monks? Headless clergy, we'll call them, that look, which look a little bit like lightsabers.
Yes,
just a little bit, and they look a little bit like Jedi, just a little bit, as they come in for the attack, and the doctor's getting cross So what we find out at this point is that the little baby, is has a human plus, isn't it? So it's human plus Time Lord because it was conceived in the TARDIS while it was flying through the time vortex.
It's possible that she can regenerate.
That was a hint, wasn't it? That it was could regenerate. And because it has Time Lord capabilities, they want to brainwash it into killing the Doctor.
Makes so perfect sense.
Basically a weapon against the Doctor. So it's an assassin. She's born to be in it. Well, was born to be Amy and Rory's daughter, but Frances Barber wants to make it into an assassin. And yes, it goes whoop, and Amy gets a little bit traumatised by the splat, which used to be the baby she was cuddling. Strax looks like he's dying here, but then, of course, he's a clone, so I suppose. I don't know what happened. looked like he was dying.
It is established somehow how he lives, but we went for several months there wondering how he came back, because we could see him in the previews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, it is the same Strax who we see die here. He just lives.
So anyway, while everything's the Doctor's sort of slapping his forehead and stuff like that, River, Lorna dies, and the River turns, she's not really dead, because she goes up to the Enterprise and stuff. River turns up and explains everything. That Amy and Rory are parents, and the little baby, after the embroidery, the TARDIS converts the, you know, the text on the thing that they didn't have a word for River, for pond, so they had River, and they didn't have a song for melodies, word for melody, so they made it River Song. And the Doctor, and stuff like that, and he's all quite pleased with himself, and decides to jump in the TARDIS and bugger off and leave him behind. And then she says, "Hi, Mummy, Daddy." And that's essentially the end of the episode. Right, so...
To me, it was an emotional scene.
It was an emotional scene, yes. Right, then. Now, let me tell me what I think about it. It was quite a lot going on in this episode. It really did feel like a end-of-series finale rather than a mid-series finale, because this did remind me that this series was split in two halves.
Was this the first time they did one of those series splits?
It didn't work.
No. But as the story itself, it was a bit disjointed, a bit Moffat-y. This is probably the first story you could sort of recognise as one of those things that people that aren't Doctor Who fans might think, "Oh God, what the hell's going on here?" But it is a bit all over the place. There's lots of things that have never been in it before. They're brought in randomly, and like the Cybermen just brought in randomly because they could. And they wanted to make it feel a bit epic, didn't they? Mm-hmm. But having said that, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It wasn't really much of a story. It's lots of silly little things going on here and there, little bits of comedy with Strax and the random appearance of Hugh Bonneville, which must have cost them a fortune. But I actually really thoroughly enjoyed the story. I don't know if it's the right reasons to enjoy it. A big pardon?
I believe they filmed that little section because you don't see him with the Doctor or anyone. So they simply filmed it when he was doing the pirate.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. But I'm saying is that...
Although they did disconnect his son from the life support system, finally.
Yes, they clearly did. But anyway, I not necessarily for the right reasons, I don't know, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I keep banging on about it over and over again. I love River Song as a character, and I just find all that stuff going on. I love the fact that Amy and Rory are parents. I think that's brilliant. It can't possibly make sense really long term, but I just love the romance of the whole thing, you know, and the fact that she knows the Doctors and, you know, at some point will know Capaldi and is intimately and stuff. I just love the whole idea of it. I think that they had a good idea with the meeting of River out of time sort of thing, because that is natural. If you're a time traveller, like in that story of the time traveller's wife, you're not necessarily going to meet people in the right order. But initially the idea was it was in reverse order. That's part of it. It doesn't work for me. I think the random order says she has to check where they're up to when the diary is. So that's fine. And she obviously, having Time Lord knowledge, would know she can't issue spoilers, etc., etc. So I love it, and I think that aspect of this, it was quite a satisfying reveal that Amy and Rory were her parents, and that she was the little baby and stuff like that. But also then added a bit of intrigue as to how they were going to end, or, you know, the Doctor was going to survive, etc., etc. So I liked it. Ben, did you ever watch this episode?
Oh, yeah, I watched it when it was on first time. In complete standoff to what you've just said, I just want to point out, it's not that I don't like Alex Kingston. I'm sure she's an absolutely lovely person, a wonderful actress, and pays lots of time giving money to charity and stuff, and probably even recycles her paper. But I just do not like the whole River Song story arc from beginning to end. I just think it's utter bobbins. And this just typifies the whole stupidity of it. It wasn't my favourite thing ever. The episode was all right. I liked seeing everyone in the room having a big scrap. That was interesting. I would have liked to have been given some full knowledge of that, obviously, because then we could have run a book on who was going to win. My money would have been on the Doctor. I was getting very bored of Doctor Who by this point. The storylines hadn't been good for a long time. And, it's funny because, you know, we had the episodes recently where we were kind of like almost
people
criticizing the stories for having like the greatest hits of Doctor Who, I think, as we described it, as in there was they were just throwing in all of the baddies to, you know, get some sort of attention. But yeah, in this one there's loads of them in it. And I don't remember at the time us going, oh, but they're only doing it because like we always do now. So, yeah, that's what I think. And my enjoyment is definitely heightened by your enjoyments of the episodes.
Thanks. Kirby.
Yeah, I wish that I'd been able to listen to episode 60 because Ben was on that one too. I'd like to...
Remember how Ben was referring to the certain episodes, but it's fine. You will be able to listen to episode 60 when I get around to...
We also had two guests that would be interesting to listen to. We had Nick from kuwan.co.uk.
Yeah, he was, but I don't think he was particularly enthusiastic about it.
and Wes from the Omega podcast.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I've got an injury for it. I just can't listen to it. Oh, okay. A good man goes to war.
Thank you.
Love this story.
You do?
It's a lot of fun. I'll stop and watch it anytime. It's too bad that the whole stupid series by the time of Wedding of River Song just made no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, brother.
It had so much promise. And it was just not tied up properly at all. But there were so many things being brought in. The introduction of the Paternoster gang, even though they weren't together yet. Strax, I still love Strax, although he got overused after a while. It's just fun.
It is fun. Yes. Is that it? Sorry.
It's fun.
I'm sorry, yes. Abrupt ending. Okay. Well, I was expecting it to go on for a little bit longer, so I was doing some behind the scenes work.
Natter, 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 grubbish, grubbish, grubbish.
And
carrots, beets and carrots.
Yeah. Yes. Well, okay. Well, thank you, Kirby. Yes. Well. What did you think of it, Mary?
Really mixed feelings because, like you, Adam, I really enjoy the episode itself. Isolated, it was so much fun. And yes, it of course, because we've watched a lot of Doctor Who before this, you know, a lot of the returning characters and all that made it even more fun. I'm not a fan of the Paternoster gang, but, you know, it was still fun to see Strax. All by itself, it was a great, fun episode. Lots of, you know, heartfelt moments, lots of laughs and all that. And it did feel more like an end of season episode, you know, than a mid season break.
It should have been.
Yeah. The problem is, and we cannot escape this, and I think you brought it up, Kirby, that we know where things are going to progress from here or regress. We know that all these wonderful arc elements, you know, that are building and building, you know, like where's it's going to go, who's going to be who, and all, this is like the pinnacle, and from here on out, it's just going to start, you know, coming apart. The threads are going to come loose, and none of this stuff is going to add up to anything that makes any sense. And it's really sad because it's an episode like this that makes us think of the Matt Smith era, you know, as being like the most exciting one. When in fact, I think Moffat really had no idea where to go with these stories. He was just making it up as he went along, and he had no good resolutions. So it's with this sad sense, you know, while watching this good episode that, you know, and I know it's not going to go anywhere, and it's going to be so sad, that kind of puts a negative tinge on it while watching it. Yeah, so Yeah, very mixed feelings. But everybody's performances are right on the mark. I like everybody in it. I don't know how to put it. You know, it's a great episode, standalone, but it doesn't contribute to anything. And I remember at the time when we would watch this, you know, how excited we were for the next episode to come along to see where it was going to go, and unaware that it's all going to fall apart. So that's where I am.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of stories coming up, and we've got an absolutely fantastic story coming up, but it has nothing to do with the series arc. That would be The Girl Who Waited. And next week I'm already gonna say now I like Let's Kill Hitler, but right. It starts going down by closing time. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I like Closing Time as an independent episode too, but you know. What can you do?
I think I must be way ahead of you all on that curve.
I've got issues with dealing with the Cybermen and trying to fit what's-his-face into a Cyberman suit.
Yeah.
Although I do have to say, I do like Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling, being there, or not that, the singer who plays, who was in the Gunfighters.
What, Linda Barron?
Yes. Okay. Anyway, we'll get to that in a few weeks.
Yes, let's hope so.
We'll get there. It's just that it gives that bittersweet feel to watching this story.
Yes, it does. Agreed.
So, Ben, do you happen to have a jingle for Kirby?
Yeah, I have it right here.
He asks you what you think, and it normally goes well, but as he's an American, he'd say
swell.
So here's what you think. In content it doesn't lack. It's Kirby but with Sloan and his pedantic feedback.
For 5 seconds.
See, I've got absolutely no idea how loud that is for you. Is that
that's
a good
all right,
one?
Yeah, it's alright. It was quieter than the section of episode 6 that I played earlier on.
Right, okay, because like, I just don't know, so I can have a look, and next time I play it, I'll play it a bit louder.
Yes. I better go and fetch my triple while Kirby starts his feature.
I posted the first bit of feedback back to it with a picture of fish fingers and custard with the caption, another awkward dinner with the mother-in-law.
Carry on.
I can't, there's a triple in the way. Brandon Moore says, "Beep." Neil James, who is really the only person who gave us feedback here, says, "A good man goes to war. This one has really grown on me over the years."
We can get some ointment for that.
It's so epic and thunders along at an exciting pace. I love the shot of the cyber ships exploding behind Rory at the beginning, and there's so much going on that I almost didn't notice that the Doctor was missing when the first...
That's
what?
My phone up.
I thought you were just getting distracted and playing some random music.
There's so much going on that I almost didn't notice that the Doctor was missing from the first 20 minutes. Matt Smith is fantastic in this story, and I think the Headless Monks are great villains. I've never been a fan of River or her whole relationship with the Pawns, but that doesn't stop me enjoying this episode. Still shocking when the baby melts in Amy's arms, and Lorna Bucket is a massive cutie. 4 stars out of 5.
Oh, is
and
that
I'm
it?
Not going to read Ian's script.
Right.
Do you want me to read Robert's feedback?
Yes, I do indeed want you to read Robert's feedback. I'm just posting a picture for Neil James, who said that about Lorna Bucket being a cutie. So I'm just posting a, hopefully posting a picture if it'll work. Carry on, Kirby.
So, for some reason, I'm always want to pronounce her name a bouquet.
Bouquet. Oh, Lorna Bucket. Oh yes. Well, okay. Go on, then you get a tiny,
anyway,
hardly noted little thing
I'll
for that one.
I'll skip Robert's health report. Firstly, because I missed last week, the Rebel Flesh, the Almost People. I really enjoyed this one. I can't remember what I thought about this originally, but I thought it very good this time. I loved the bit about the doctor swapping the shoes, which tested how Amy reacted to the Flesh Doctor and therefore people's reaction in general. It was very well done. I remember at the time I thought that this provided the answer to the doctor's death in the first episode, but then a Flesh Doctor wouldn't die like that. Anyway, I enjoyed the story. So, on to this week's story, A Good Man Goes to War. Written by Moffat. It's very annoying that he writes stupid lines that really irk me. I hate the way he writes for Smith so often, that breezy kind of dialogue where he thinks he's being funny. He is being funny. It's so much better when Smith is serious. So the idea of the Flesh is set up in the previous two episodes, so provides a plausible fake baby, which is quite heartbreaking for Amy when the Flesh baby turns to slush. The best moment is the reveal on the patch with the embroidered name, and we learn who River finally is. That's still a bloody good moment in Doctor Who history. At the time this was shown, it was so annoying that they split the season in two. Lucky us now with the whole season. It really sucked at the time waiting to see the next episodes, what it meant and what happened to the baby. The episode looks like it had quite a bit of money spent on it. Not that I think that money makes it a better episode, though. Despite the Moffat touches, it wasn't too bad. It's interesting watching these 11, 12 years later. I can't remember all that much about the rest of the stories except from the next one, so it's going to be interesting to see.
Thank you. On the live feed, Brandon Moore said, "Sorry I'm late, I was just having some dinner. Stringy, but tasty all the same." All right, then. We're going to have a little interlude.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabytes. It's Andy Lennon here. It's 10 to 6 on Sunday night. I'm just running a bath. I've been to Messy Church with Zach, and we had lots and lots of fun. Well, I did anyway. I'm not sure about him. And anyway, yesterday, usual thing. Saturday morning at the park, and did the ironing and watched A Good Man Goes to War. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The start is very good. I mean, Rory really does manage to exude menace. You wouldn't think so, because at times he just bimbles around. This time it's a case of, you know, I have a question and a message for the doctor, and it's, here's the question, and what's the message, and all hell breaks loose behind him. Would you like to fit the message? And he just, I mean, he doesn't actually need to say very much. It's just the look of him, you know, him as the centurion. He's really quite scary at times. Anyway, rock through into the story, and really things do really get confusing, and they bounce along at a merry old rate. I mean, it's really, this story really did fly through, and you get all the old people coming back. You know, you've got Captain Avery, you've got Dorian, you've got, obviously, you've got Eyepatch Lady, and who now does have a name, which, of course, I've completely forgotten at the time. I want to call him Amanda Balthazar, but no, it's not that. But it's quite clear soon that all is not right, because Amy's been taken away and she's giving birth and she's got a baby and the baby's been taken off her, and there's somebody there who doesn't actually want the baby to be taken away, or is on not on Rory's side, on Amy's side. Now, it's interesting that she gave her, Laura Bucket gave her the prayer leaf with her real name on it. How did she know? That's one thing we never find out, or if we don't find out in the episode, whether we find out further on down the line. I don't know. But, of course, River rocks up. And actually, for once, River doesn't want to get out. And then you just explain to Rory that this is it. This is the final end. You know, it's the beginning and the end all mixed up together. It's when everything, she and the Doctor finally understand who each other is. And, of course, we find out the end as well. But he says, you know, he'll rise so high and then fall even further. And it's a case of, it's quite clear there's something going to happen really nasty. And it's interesting that as they go through with the battle, with good fun bit, we start with Stax coming. Strax, even, I'll get his name right a second. Thank you. No, I haven't been drinking. It's still January. with being a nurse. And then he actually does die. I thought the great bit is when he saves the boy and says, you know, look after yourself, do this. It'd be my honour to come and disembowel you on the battlefield. And at the end, with the father, says something similar to, oh, get some rest. Yeah, you know, I think it's just Strax, and it is witty, but it actually still stays within the Sontaran ethos that they are evil, but in a way it's not evil, is it? That's the whole point. And of course you get the Paternoster gang, and it's hinted at what the relations is, and then finally you get to realise, yep, they're actually a couple. Fair enough. I mean, not quite sure how that would work, but I'm sure the slash fiction writers have a field day on that one, but let's not go there. This is a family show after all. And then we get, they go, Madame Gazarian, that was it, of course it was. I was closing the bar. Anyway, so they go and rescue the baby. And then somebody says, it was too easy. And that's when you start thinking, hello, something's going on here. This isn't going to be a nice, simple, get the end story and they're all happy reunited. No, it doesn't. The baby turns to gloop. So it's, we've already had Amy being a Ginga Manga, or Ginga Ganga even. I'll get it right in a second. I'm not really reading well, am I, today? And then the baby turned to gloop as well. And so Rory's gone, the babe, not Rory's gone, Rory's there. That's who wants Rory, is there. I really am doing badly. Sorry about this, Adam. You might want to crap all this. Edit me out. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, but you get to it and the baby's gone, but they're going to get him back. And the doctor is, yeah, I think everyone realises it's not really his fault. But Amy, you know, as a mother, as any mother would do, you know, he in a way is responsible for her losing her baby. And she's going to be furious, but she recognises that something's up. Dorian presumably gets his head lopped off. You don't hear it. Again, that's the great thing about it. You don't see it, but you know what's happening. There's a joke going to bring up in the next episode, but I'm going to save that one for later. It's quite a good joke. But then you end up and it's who is at Riversong. And then at the end, there's been hints. And then it's not just sort of come out the open. It just gets up and punches you straight between the eyes. It's who she is. She is Melody Pond. Riversong is Melody Pond. And that goes back to, you know, how did Lola Bucket know? I just wonder. And therefore, well, there you go. And it's, I think it's just tremendous because they realised that, you know, it must be very odd having a daughter who is actually older than you. And so it does set it up really nicely. I remember now that this was done, there was a hiatus between the two parts of this season, so we had to wait for like 6 months to Let's Kill Hitler. And I think it really just set, not a cliff, you know, it wasn't a cliffhanger, it was a knife edge you let this up on. And I just think it's actually a tremendous story. There's some great bits of humour in it, some good laughs, but also it's some very poignant bits, you know, as a parent, you know, when the baby's taken away, it's like, you know, I defy any parent not to have felt something there. As we left where it is with Amy and the doctor and Rory are going to go after and get the baby back. We're not quite sure what's going on. River's in there somewhere. And there you go. And before I go, ironing tip. Always make sure the stuff you iron is very slightly damp, because that way you get all the wrinkles out and you get really razor sharp creases. Until next time then, be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy. Kirby.
I don't think that I have ironed anything in years.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, yeah. I have a little bit of extra feedback here. Whoop. What was that?
Did I don't know, just get on with it. Off?
Okay. Anyway, this is from Mr. M, obviously. Oh, don't give me those blank looks. A Good Man Goes to War by Stephen Moffat. I like this episode a lot. It's got light and shade, great fun moments with a brilliant bunch of characters, and some dark steeliness from Matt Smith. There's a lot going on here, so I'm going to have to bullet point. The Doctor is absent for about the first half of the episode. It's almost a Doctor Light.
I said Smith's that.
Yes, you did. Hmm. But you probably read this.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, it did. Smith's angry acting has improved a lot. Is this the 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
What did you sign up for?
Smith's angry acting has improved a lot, and we get to see the Doctor's first stars. At the end of the episode, he runs away to find baby Melody, but does a pretty bad job of. Bullet point two, Karen Gillan is hot, and she does a good scream when her baby melts. The episode does brush aside some of the trauma she must have been through, but I suppose there is only so far a family show can go. Bullet point. Rory roaming around Roman-like really works. So it's a shame we don't get to see any of this again. Bullet point. Riversong is actually barely in this episode. I think they blew the reveal of her identity a tad by making it too well known that this would be the episode where we find out who she was. As soon as we knew the plot of the episode was the hunt for Amy and Rory's daughter, the answer was obvious. Bullet point. Madame Kavarian is a good villain. Her line about an endless bitter war foreshadows time with the Doctor, but it's a shame she doesn't turn up there. Bullet point. Madame Vastra and Jenny are great fun. She has good aim with that tongue.
She does.
Bullet point. Dorian does seem a bit useless, but he adds good comic relief. Mm. Bullet point. Strax works best in his first outing here. You can actually believe that he is a Suntaran. his death here should have been final. And I kind of agree.
Yep.
Although he was funny later.
Yeah.
Bullet point. Lorna Bucket is hot, although apparently not as hot as Karen Gillan, because for Karen Gillan, he capitalized it, and here it's hot. I like that a bucket took the pond to the river.
Ah.
Really good. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, and the doctor clearly doesn't remember her. Bullet point. Captain Jack was originally going to be in this episode, but was unavailable due to working on Miracle Day. Perhaps he made the wrong choice.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, God. Remember we were reviewing Miracle Day and just being very disappointed.
Yes.
Okay, back to his feedback. Overall, I give this episode a solid 9 out of 10. Oh, and I love the ballsiness of Let's Kill Hitler flashing up on the screen at the end.
Well, thank you, Monsieur M. Of course, the next bit we need to do is this one.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Point a gun at me, if it helps you relax.
I've only got a phaser.
A Good Man Goes to War by Stephen Moffat. Madame Vastra has a coachman called Parker, whose voice sounds like Parker the chauffeur from Thunderbird. 777th episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
We have the Paternoster Gang and Dorian, and a very brief reappearance of Captain Avery,
yeah,
who can fly a spaceship.
We can.
Young viewers will never notice the rude joke about Madame Vastra's long tongue. Moffat may have been making the point that if the thin one and the fat one don't need actual names, then neither does the Doctor. The 12th Doctor will go on about whether he is a good man. Some people think Rory might be the good man of the title.
Indeed.
I like this, and there was a lot of action packed into a one-part story.
Yep, can be done, can't it?
Bye for now.
Bye, Ian.
Bye.
Bye.
Mary. Mary.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize you saying my name.
Sorry.
Okay. I didn't realize you were saying your name either, and there's only four of us here.
Okay, we have the Miles' contribution here. At last, a good story. Looks like this one will have all of the Doctor's friends and enemies in it. About time we had some action. Why is he dressed as a Roman centurion again? Rory delivers a message from the Doctor and a question to the Cybermen of the 12th Cyber Legion, who are monitoring the whole quadrant. He demands to know, where is my wife? Don't give me those blank stares. Mind you, the message from the Doctor wasn't very man of peace. The Madame Vastra and coach driver bit was funny. That will be all, Parker. Yes, m'lady. There was Jenny, but no Strax. Poor old Jack the Ripper. Good shame he was chewy, but at least he was tasty. Next, we have a future battle where it is okay for a Santaran to appear as a nurse. Hang on, that's Strax. About time. Oh no, the storm cage. There's River having escaped and now staggering back to her suite. Sorry, Cell. Who's this approaching her from the shadows? Is it a guard? Is it an assassin? No, it's Dad. Sorry, why is he dressed like that? With his army ready, the Doctor goes into action. Excellent twist with the baby and the headless monks. Is that the last we'll see of Madame Kavorian? Let's wait a few episodes and see. All in all, we enjoyed this one. Next up, let's sort out River's backstory. Stay safe, everybody. Linda and Terry.
Excellent.
Oh.
I can't remember.
Okay, now I understand why people are talking about Thunderbirds.
Yes.
I remember we had the discussion last week that I'm...
Yes.
Haven't seen those in a long time. Yeah, no. So Parker was a manservant of Lady Penelope, fine, and would say...
Yes, you're rambling, Kirby.
Yes, I am.
Yes. Ben, you have some oratory genius from a certain councillor.
I have many, many words from a certain councillor. Many. I mean, I do need to point out before I start this that I am due to go away with work tomorrow evening.
So I may have to leave this halfway through because I've only got 24 hours to go. Rory, Rory, hallelujah. Or she was the baby all the time. Dear 20 megabiters, a good man goes to war is, of course, a closely studied proposition that religion can be moulded into a dangerous, ruthless and antagonistic force raged against a sort of stimulus to hope and the realisation of potential which the Doctor embodies and provokes. The unresolved ending in the face of such efforts emphasizes the difficulty there is in combating such a force, defiance to which is likely to require sacrifice and fortitude in a very long game. Listen up, Vladimir Putin. All right, Kirby, I need you, sir. Are you standing by?
No, I'm sitting.
Oh, he's a funny man. It should be noted that... that Amy should be more distraught at the liquefying baby that drips from her arms. In fact, although Doctor Who is a
science fiction fantasy TV show,
it is capable of drawing and portraying a character like Amy, whose incandescent anger and strength can show how distraught she is in different but truthful ways. Just as it can show Rory's earlier overwhelming reaction when confronted with parenthood. Anyway, when such a liquefaction happens, the important thing is to be careful not to.
Very good.
Sliding.
That's one of your better ones, Ben.
But, I mean, I think you've got to give it to Alan D. Butcher. He's the one who wrote it. All I did was, whilst you were all talking a minute ago, was go into my record collection and then open up the song that I found on an MP3 file, edit out the bit that I want, put it on a different bit on the desktop, then enter it into another folder, then open it on another machine, so when it's ready to go, I can just press it like that. You see,
I said it was good. I didn't expect the blooming Spanish Inquisition.
You didn't get it. You got tired. I told you what I just did to get that on air. Whatever. Anyway, we also learn that Lan Nguyen Sing, who served on the pre-Kirk crew of the Starship Enterprise with Captain Pike. Captain Pike, don't tell him your name, Captain Pike.
Nice one.
Started out as an ecclesiastical soldier.
Christopher Eccleston, did you say?
A Christopher Eccleston soldier called Lorna Bouquet. Or is that Bucket? Good gag. Good gag. I like that. All in All. Is there any Oasis songs called All in All? No, I don't think there is. I think there is a song called I'm sure they'll find. A Good Man Goes to War is a very untraditional type of narrative for the show, but with powerful roles and commensurate...
I had a powerful role the other day. I had lots of coronation chicken, but it was a little bit too spicy. Anyway, carry on.
From the TARDIS crew. Here we see an episode which fully engages with the season arc, making a virtue out of this unfortunate mid-season break. Making the Doctor this powerful is a risky choice and not to be repeated often. But here, the strength of the relationships and the quality of acting chemistry between the characters justifies it. Great care is taken to build up Amy and Rory's relationship with great success and leaving no doubts about their deep, abiding love. The Pastanorf gangs moves to embellish the Doctor's, I've lost my place, other calls to arms of friends and associates to a grander scale. Finally, the revelation at the end is satisfying, surprising, and impactful. This, I'm not sure how this is meant to be written. Is this meant to be sarcastic, this next bit?
No, I
doubt it. This golden age, which golden age is that? Is that the Bronze Age we're currently in, which is a good couple below the golden age of David Tennant? Ah, do we remember David Tennant as Doctor? He's not written this, that's my words. I know it got confusing because it's my voice reading his words out, and now I'm saying my words when I'm reading his words, which then might make you think that his words were my, but my words were mine and his were his. Right. Finally, the revelation at the end is satisfying, surprising, and impactful. This golden age has found yet another peak. Unexpected, unforeseen, and very, very welcome. This story is perhaps an episode too short, as who would not want to see more of the 11th Doctor being this awesome and the story being so epic? I mean, that's a lot to be sarcastic about. I mean, unless he's being serious.
I don't. He's not. He likes Doctor Who. I think he's being serious.
Yeah.
Crumbs.
Nah.
I mean, it is. Anyway, next up, Doctor Who and the Two River Songs, or When Did Hitler Come Out of the Closet? I don't think you're allowed to write or even say that anymore, are you? I'm
probably.
Not sure that's a phrase.
Depends on what the context is, I would imagine.
Anyway, those are my thoughts, or at least they're his words. The Counselor, Alan Riggy T. Show Butcher.
Marvellous, thank you. I presume you haven't done any little games that we used to play last year.
Oh, no, I run two radio stations now.
Oh, don't give me that. Job.
I really don't have time to write.
Bring back the quiz next week.
No, me and Mary have had got an agreement, haven't we, Mary?
Yes, we do.
Oh, dear. Right, but we can play it. I have got some... Oh, I've got wind. Right,
this is
okay.
Interesting.
Pardon?
This is interesting. The TARDIS console room does not appear in this episode. This is the first time this has occurred since Planet of the Dead over 2 years earlier.
Who said that?
Also, two whole years. Wow. God.
Also, this is the first story to not include River saying hello, sweetie.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that piece
that
of
riveting.
Nice one. Oh dear, right then. Oh, right, so we can dabble in Ben's little game, because I just happen to have some information that's just come up available to me just by chance. So Ben, you get the very rare chance of actually getting to play along with your own game, what I created. Well, what? TalkSport.
Oh, right, okay.
TalkSport created, but oh, never mind. It's only...
Do you know, my name was mentioned on TalkSport twice over the last month, and both times the presenters have laughed at it.
Who? Who's been mentioned? You?
Me, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, because I don't know if I can't remember if I've told you, but I do the commentary now for local football team, Farnborough.
Yeah.
And the person I do it with is a bloke called Andy Smart, who is a comedian from the comedy club up in London. But he's also watched Farnborough for years and years and years. I've forgotten what I was telling you the story about.
You got mentioned on TalkSport.
That was it. And he's on TalkSport every Friday afternoon with Hawksby and Jacobs.
I love that show.
You love it, do you?
Yeah, my favourite show on radio, that is.
Okay.
Sorry.
So Andy Smart was on, and he mentioned the fact he does the commentary with Ben Shubler, and both times they've laughed at my name and taken the mickey and put the word that you would expect a lot of six-year-olds in the playground to put in front of it. I mean, I'm not being funny, but, you know, I mean, I have heard it since I was very, very young, so it's very, very
tiresome. That could, to me, then it amounts to bullying, Ben.
The fact that they did it both times that Andy mentioned my name... Yeah, anyway.
I've come up with an idea for you to avoid lawsuits. Employ me to TalkSport. And hopefully, as I've always said, you're perfect for the channel, to be fair.
Well, so, that would be very nice. But, in all seriousness, I said I was going to start doing this commentary at the beginning of November. Mm. And I really think, after what happened at the end of my radio career, that there is something in the universe that doesn't want me to do radio. Because since I've said I'm going to do this commentary, there's been 8 postponements and 3 matches.
Okay, let's play.
It's not funny. It's just,
it's ironic, mate. But it's really
it's not ironic. I've been looking forward to doing this so much, and I've been getting. And every time there's a postponed match, I have to do so much work, so much prep for each team. And then it gets cancelled because either a frozen pitch, a waterlogged pitch, or aliens
it's
crashing.
It's just
I think
the time of year. Let's do Ben's little game. So, there's only four. The first person who you've got to work out how aged are they, haven't we, Ben, if I remember right?
No, I think that's what it was called, yeah.
So the first person is Tommy Knight, who played Sarah Jane's son in the Sarah Jane Adventures. Ben, how old is Tommy Knight?
Tommy Knight? Well, he was the little kid from...
Yes, he played Luke Smith... I think it was in Stolen Earth and Journey's End.
When was Sarah Jane Adventures on? That was when David Tennant was Doctor, wasn't it? So that was about 2004-ish.
Go on.
So he'd have been 15 then, or 12, 30.
Mary, how old is...
I'd say like 35.
Okay. And... Oh, I put that in the wrong place. Hang on. Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. I put the wrong name down. That's why I confused myself. And Kirby!
I'll tell you what, it really isn't as good as
what I did. What are the rules?
What do you mean, what are the rules?
There are no rules? I don't know.
What do you mean? Just give it an age, right? Tommy Knight. How old's Tommy Knight? It's not a difficult
thing. I can't believe we had to make up...
Because Ben would penalise anybody who said they didn't know.
Ben would penalise me if I said I don't know. So.
Yeah, you're right, I would. And 30, I'm going to do 31. It now, Kirby.
I'll say 31.
I'm not the quiz master, I'm going to start penalising
you. Okay. right then, so that's... Thank you, everybody. And the next person is Richard Dinnick. He was a writer of Recorded Time and other stories in the worlds of Doctor Who. Never heard of him myself, but apparently he deserves a mention somewhere along the line. How old is Richard Dinnick?
Who are you asking?
Pardon? Oh, sorry. Mary, sorry. Mary, how old is Richard Dinnick? I do apologise.
58.
And Kirby?
I don't know. I'm
for God's sake.
57.
And Ben?
In that case, I'm not playing their silly game, so I'm going to go 55.
Aha!
What?
And the next one you're going to ask is Pamela Salem.
Right, Kirby, you're disqualified. Kirby is disqualified. Right, yes, Pamela Salem. Ben, how old is Pamela Salem?
Who the hell's Pamela Salem?
Pamela Salem was in my favourite story, or one of them, Robots of Death. She played Toos, very sexy lady.
Oh, so she's proper old school classic Who, 75. Yeah.
And Mary?
82.
And finally, how old would John Hurt have been had he still been alive? Mary.
Idiot.
Ben.
84.
Thank you. Right then, so Ben, you'd just like to do some filling whilst we work out the scores. It worked out that Kirby's disqualified, so that was quite easy.
So while we wait for Adam to
work out the
scores,
how did you know he was going to ask?
Because I brought up, because one of the next things that we're going to discuss is Doctor Who News, and it's on the side of Doctor
Thanks
Who
for
News.
That, yeah, just tell everybody, thanks for ruining, ruining that.
Toos would have been the character in Robots of Death who was wearing her costume.
She was very sexy, except, yeah, we already got that.
No. I believe she's the one where her costume is later worn by... Romana, when she's regenerating into Romana 2 for just a second.
Has anybody seen, ahead of Doctor Who News, which I know is a huge thing, and I don't wish to tread on anyone's toesies, but has anyone seen the British soap actress who's joined Doctor Who's cast for the specials?
Yes.
Yeah, the one who used to be...
Well, that was, I was about to announce that one doing the next feature, which, funny enough, is Doctor Who News.
Well, that's why I didn't mention...
the quiz on the right-hand side.
Okay, right then. Yes, we now have the results of the game, which was Ben's...
But before you do that, I would just like to point out that I didn't mention the actress's name at that point. I was teasing it. At not okay, one point very good. Did I say well Anita done. Dobson. Sorry.
Right then, so...
I may have let the cat out of lead bag.
So, the results of... this is what you remember the Bruce Forsyth Generation game got handed
I
over...
I remember to, Bruce Forsyth.
It got handed over to... Roy Carter used to fill in, and then Larry Grayson took over. It's a bit like the handover from Brucey, Ben,
you know,
to Larry,
no,
like me.
No, I do know what it's not. Actually, what it's more like is when there was a TV show on ITV called The Golden Arrow, I think it was.
Golden Shot. Bob Monkhouse used to present
it. And Bob Monkhouse used to do it.
And it was handed over to Norman Vaughan.
And they brought in an absolute nobody to do it. I think it's more like that.
Okay, thanks. Right then, so I don't know whether to change the scores the other way. So in last place, Kirby with nothing because he got disqualified. Surprise. In second place, with 22 points. That's a drum roll. Mary, and the winner with only three points. Ben, he got... I didn't have the sound effect to play for the... Because I didn't have the sound effect, because he got Tommy right, he got Richard right. It was only two out with Pamela Salem, and only one out with John Hurt. So John Hurt was 83.
Yeah.
Pamela Salem, 73.
No idea.
Richard Dinnick was 55, and Tommy Knight is 30. Can you believe Tommy Knight is 30?
No.
He's unbelievable.
I thought that, oh, wow. So my thinking of he was about 15, and that was about 15 years ago, yeah, seems to be quite good there.
Yeah. I wonder if he's got any kids. I wonder if he does conventions. I wonder who his agent is. Anyway, right, Doctor Who
Master.
Nearly Doctor Who.
Do you plan to do this again? And if so, I won't cheat. I just happen to be on the page and notice.
Yeah. We've all that heard.
I mean,
I just
do want to say as well, after my resounding victory, that's how easy it is.
Oh, is that where you were getting them?
I was just getting them right, Kirby. I was just pulling numbers.
He's asking if that's where
caring,
you got...
Not overthinking it. Just saying
he's asking if that's where you got the questions from on the side of the Doctor Who News page.
Oh, no. I had another website.
You did some research, didn't you?
That had every single actor.
I mean, this was it. I was just scrolling down and I noticed, wait a second. He's named his first two people.
I did mine properly. I did proper research, Kirby, off another website that had every single Doctor Who actor who's ever been in its birthday. So...
Right then, so Doctor
Who. Long time.
That sounds like something that Toby would put
together. At some point.
Anyway, Adam, can you go over those results again, please?
Ben won, Mary was second. And Kirby was last. And coming through on the live feed at 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast group, which you can join, is Lillian Robin with a sort of laughy emoji. I presume it's probably
something that you said.
No, Alan T. Butcher said, when Kirby said, this is interesting, it was perhaps a new meaning of the phrase which we have not come across before, to which Lenny and Robin laughed.
Ooh.
Now, when someone says...
Okay.
When someone says, I'll tell you something interesting, your reply should always be, I'll be the judge of that.
And then
try and say it properly.
And then she speaks facts. This is Lenny and Robin, who says, Kirby cheats. That's the quote from the show of the day. And where was Doctor Who News? Well, yeah, so like it was hinted earlier on, Anita Dobson and Michelle Greenidge are going to be in series 14 of Doctor Who. It says the BBC has confirmed that Anita Dobson and Michelle Greenidge will be starring in the next series of Doctor Who. Anita Dobson was best. That's probably going to start again. Anita Dobson is best known as being the wife of legendary rock guitarist from Queen, Brian May, or should I say Professor Brian May, and also
it's
the
not just professor, it's doctor.
Dr. Professor
Brian May, who was also a professor of playing incredible guitar solos in Queen songs.
Not just solos, he was quite good at the chords as well.
He was pretty good, wasn't he? A pub landlady, and doing a solo on the roof of Buckingham Palace as well. That was quite iconic.
Maybe you'll do a solo on top of the TARDIS.
No, that would be good, wouldn't it? I like that. I like the sound of that. Anyway, neurotic pub landlady Angie Watson, BBC series Soap EastEnders between 1985 and 1988. Other television roles include the ITV sitcom in 1989 of Split Ends. She hasn't done a lot recently, so it's nice to...
she hasn't had to. Her husband's got a bob or two.
Yeah. Maybe they could... they could get him in just to do a bit of guitaring on the show. That'd be quite good. She was nominated for an Olivier Award for Best Actress.
You've got a science fiction fantasy TV show and just standing around on the TARDIS bridge is... oh, Brian May from Queen with his axe.
Oh, look at that.
That'll be cool. Yeah.
Just, there's no storyline to it at all. He's just...
well, there's not really in Stranger Things when Eddie Thingamajig has the Metallica guitar. It's not really, you know, a story to that. It's just... rock. Anyway,
I don't know what you're talking about. I know the words Metallica.
Be quiet.
I know them very well. They've got a good new single out this week, by the way. But I have no idea what the things are that you're talking about Metallica. Apart from that,
in 2003, she was nominated for an Olivier Award for Best Actress in the National Theatre production of Frozen. She also has starred in West End as Mama Morton in the musical Chicago and Gertrude. These are all quite a long time ago, so she hasn't done a lot recently.
Did she win the award for Frozen?
Yeah.
Nominated.
Beg your pardon.
So she didn't win it?
No.
Okay, she should just let it go.
Ah, you're on fire, Ben. You'll melt snow. Michelle Greenidge is best known for a portrayal of Valerie in the Netflix series Afterlife. She played Lola Akendo Akimbo in the BBC Two comedy Mandy, PC Williams in the police drama Code 404, and Rosa Babatunde in the RTD television series It's a Sin.
I look back upon my life.
All right, thank you. She also worked in theatre, blah, 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 blah. So a couple of good actors there. Thank you for that. There's a Doctor Who Target collection coming out. Kablam, Planet of the Ood, Waters of Mars. Talking of Waters of Mars, there's an actress in that who appeared. Do you know the new Enola Holmes film? That's a mini-Bobby Brown series. The one who plays Moriarty is a woman who plays Moriarty in it. She was in Waters of Mars. She played the African British lady. No, because black people in America are called African Americans, aren't they? So I think that black people in Britain should be called African British people. And had a dribbly mouthy thing going on.
Don't open up a can of worms like that, for crying out loud.
I'm just saying, if that's what... anyway, she's British and she's got a dribbly mouthy thing in Waters of Mars, and she's also Moriarty in Enola Holmes, which I quite enjoyed. What else have we got here? Warrior's Gate and Other Stories by Stephen Gallagher. So lots of new Target books come out based on current, newish Doctor Who. That includes Doctor Who news. Now there was... we'll move on to the next section of the show, which Ben, I think he's got a... is that later on, the theme bit? Because we're talking about what we watched this week.
Well, that's Mary's bit I've got it for.
Oh, okay, so we'll do that bit at the end. Okay, right. So what I watched this, I've been mainly watching archaeological documentary series with a very attractive scientist called Professor now.
Alice.
Professor Alice Roberts. Now,
Alice Roberts. do you know who her famous sister is, the girl out of Girls Aloud?
Is she?
No.
Anyway,
Nicola Roberts.
Doesn't look anything like her. Same colour hair now. She seems to have... anyway, moving on. We're currently on series 8 or 9 or something like that. So that is on the BBC now. But Sky History have got the long back episode. So I've been watching series 1. She looks absolutely gorgeous in series 1. Not too bad now, to be fair. And that made me look her up on YouTube. And there's a series... you know that bloke who played Crichton in...
Robert Llewellyn.
Yeah, Robert Llewellyn. He did a carpool series on YouTube about 12 years ago. Not singing, just interviewing famous people while he's driving around. And one of the people he interviewed, he introduced her as... she's really, really clever and stunningly beautiful. It's Doctor, as she was at the time, Alice Roberts. But she's fab. She's got a very strange accent. She's sort of trying to stifle a Bristolian accent, and it sounds really odd. But the programmes she brings out, the archaeological programmes about what people find around Britain, amazing. And also that I finished off the Draining the Ocean series on Disney Plus, i.e. Stars. Also watched Enola Holmes. As I say, that was really quite a good film. And what else did we watch? It was also on Disney Plus. I've forgotten. But it was... Oh, it was a crime thingy on Netflix. How I Caught My Murderer, I think it's called. Some of the stories, which are real, obviously, crossed over with another series with about murders that were solved by being on the internet, etc., etc. That was quite good. And I finished off...
How did someone dead catch their own murderer?
Because of being traced on the internet. This girl was murdered, and she had her watch. She was doing her steps when you do your... You know, I think it's like... what they call it? Fitness thing, the fitness apps they have on phones and watches. While she was being chased by a murderer, you see the track of where she walked with her dog, and then she subsequently was running away from a murderer, and then they had a body. And of course, the phone then went off in another direction, and they were able to trace who'd killed her, basically, because of her phone.
Okay.
And
I keep explaining. I was a bit confused.
Okay. Well, there's other other means that detectives are able to find numpties who are particularly intelligent who decide to kill people. So that's one of the good things about social media. There's lots of bad things as well. And the other thing is I finished reading, i.e. listening, to Sarah Millican, my cousin, of course, Sarah Millican's autobiography, Fab. And I've just started a massive book about the British monarchy, basically, by David Starkey, and I was warned that he might be a bit boring, but he isn't. He's not when you're listening to him on audio. But
is David Starkey related to Dan Starkey?
No, he's not.
Is David Starkey related to you?
He's not related to Ringo off in the Beatles either. Thank you very much.
Is he related to my ex?
He probably is, Ben, actually.
Farmer College of Technology, Guy Starkey.
Anyway, so he's it's basically he's talks about how the British monarchy began right the way back to Roman times. So it starts when the Romans invade Britain by Claudius, basically invades Britain. So essentially Claudius is the first.
Read up on your ancestors here?
Pardon?
Are you trying to read up on your ancestors?
No, I was just interested to find stuff out about Britain that I didn't already know. And I've been listening to quite a lot of it now, and there's loads of stuff I didn't know and fascinating stuff.
Probably related to most of these people.
Well, when it gets to William Conqueror, which is where I am now, then that sort of side of things. Yeah, there's a lot of detail about William Conqueror's life and all the English Anglo-Saxon kings leading up to him, which I knew virtually nothing about. And even though I've tried to read it on places, various available websites and stuff. So reading, listening to the book, it's absolutely amazing. I'm really, really enjoying it. And I was speaking to somebody at work about it, that obviously when you're reading and stuff, you tend to zone out sometimes. So it's a good book. It's one of those things, even though it's a long one, I'd probably go back and listen to it again just to try and pick up the stuff I didn't quite sink in. But it's a really good book. So that's what I've been, watching, listening, reading to this week. Ben, what have you been doing?
Well, I haven't watched anything on telly. Instead, I've been reading the telly, because I thought if we're going to change around how we actually take in media these days.
there's a degree of silliness there, but carry on.
No. I mean, no, this comes from a man who says...
captions, you know, then you're reading it, huh?
Well, that's very true, Mary.
When Isabella watches stuff, she always has the subtitles on, without fail. Oh, we just started watching the Traitors USA. That's the other thing I forgot to mention. Carry on.
I might have the subtitles on sometimes, but that's just because I'm deaf and it makes knowing what's going on a lot easier.
Now as well. I saw an article pass by in the last couple of days about how basically lots of people do that.
I've got the subtitles on you right now, Kurt.
Understandably so.
Anyway, in the last week, I've been watching the usual amounts of football and cricket and snooker on the telly box. But the thing that, Dragon's Den. And,
I forgot about that. Yeah, I'll watch that. Super.
I get a bit fed up with some stupid people. No, because it used to be a case of people going on there because they've invented something. Now it's people going on there like it's Love Island, thinking they want to get famous on telly. Anyway, Death in Paradise, obviously.
Oh, I love that program. Good. Yeah.
Oh, have you seen the theory about And the what's his name? The detective's mate who's flown out to see him on the island. Do you see Friday's one?
No.
Yeah, well, in that case, I won't tell you. Spoiler. Anyway, there's that. But the thing that we've been watching most of this week, and this is an absolute gem of a find, and I'm so pleased. I don't know how I actually found it. But back in the day, 30 years ago, both me and the wife, who have got very little in common, seriously, we both used to watch Roseanne. And I was flicking through the telly boxes the other day, and I came across The Conners.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't know what that's about, basically back in, I think it was 2018 or 2016, I can't remember which one it was, they had rebooted Roseanne because they'd finished it in a really weird way, and they basically wiped the last series from history because I think Dan died as well, so that was a pretty bad way to try and continue it, bringing him back. But anyway, they started it again. And
well, stopped it because the lead actress playing Roseanne did some really embarrassing things.
That's right, 9 episodes into it.
So they canceled the series, yeah.
That's right. She started calling a politician very racist and horrible. So she basically got cancelled, as did the show Roseanne. But they came up with the idea of continuing it, but killing off Roseanne. And actually what happened is Roseanne had to sign away all of her rights to the show. Otherwise, she was basically told, you've got to leave, but if you want to close the show down, we'll close the show down and 200 people lose their jobs. Or you sign away everything to do with Roseanne and we'll continue it as The Conners. So that's what they've done. And I tell you what, it's better than Roseanne. The writing is fantastic. Sarah Gilbert, whatever her name is, Darlene, is just she's brilliant. We're back on. We're almost finished series one now, and I think they're in series 5 in real TV land. But it is so funny. It's such a find. If you haven't watched The Conners and you like funny, watch The Conners. It's on in England. It's on Sky Comedy, and around the world it's on other channels. But find it, because it is worth it. It's brilliant.
No, thank you, Ben. I did forget to mention that I've been watching this a long-running series on the BBC called The Numpties. But it's the translation is The Apprentice.
That's just toss.
Thoroughly.
The Conners is on Hulu in the US.
Thank you for that.
Oh, okay.
A bit of side information there, Kirby. Thank you. Oh, it's over to you, Kirby.
I've actually watched something.
Did you? Wow.
And it's due to Master actually reminding me that this was available to watch.
Was it on the radio then? Did you watch it on the radio if it came from Adam?
You're being cheeky. Oh, of course you are.
Of course.
It's Ben. Anyway, I watched Monty Python Live, mostly.
Good.
And that was great.
And sad and poignant as well.
Yes, and then a couple of days later, I decided to watch Monty Python at the Hollywood Bowl, which was interesting.
Same sketches, but everybody a bit younger, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same show.
Yeah.
But the more recent one was a better presentation.
And different, and more newer songs in it and stuff.
Yes, but both of those are really... I saw Monty Python at the Hollywood Bowl 30 years ago.
Yeah, I did. I've seen that one, but I prefer the O2 show simply because I think it's a bit more.
You were there a few nights before.
Yeah, but
that's something.
It's more produced better. That's all.
Then I continued on just with the next thing that popped up on Netflix, which was Before the Flying Circus, which was a thing about how they formed Monty Python, and I'll probably continue in that vein.
I can recommend a book on that subject, if you like. It's called Michael Palin Diaries, the first one. It's a really, really good book. He writes his diaries so well. It's well edited and lots of name dropping. And he does talk about the foundation of Monty Python in quite distinct detail. It's fab.
And I understand there's also, I think we discussed this last week, that there's a behind the scenes for the Monty Python Live.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll watch that in this coming week.
That's on the Blu-ray. I've got the Blu-ray somewhere. And
I will tell you next week that I watched it. Let's see. I've been reading. I've finished The Two Towers and have moved on into Return of the King for the 15th, 16th time. And I've been eating.
Eating?
I posted several places on Facebook, even on our group, because my exploration of Stranger Things became kind of a something that we talked about.
You haven't been eating stuff from Stranger Things, like Demogorgons or anything like that, have you?
No, I ate some Surfer Boy pizza.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that was an actual a real thing.
I didn't know it either until I went to Walmart yesterday, and my Fred wanted pizza, and so I was looking over the pizza there, and I saw, wait a second, that's from Stranger Things, and I got the pineapple jalapeno.
Oh, I can see the pictures, yeah.
I brought it home, and I augmented it with some pepperoni before cooking it, but it was really good, and those glasses on the box also detach. It says you've got to see it to believe it, my dudes.
Oh, God. It's marvelous.
And, and you can see my entire bald forehead.
Yeah, you can see all my entire bald forehead for the whole of this show. If you come to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, where you can watch me sitting talking to everybody live. All right then, so is that it, Kirby?
Yeah.
Because I'm presuming that Ben, being the professional broadcaster that he is, he's already queued up Mary's theme.
No.
Right. Tell us what she's watched this week.
Oh, I did.
And what she's listened to in a Mustang.
You're right, I'm a professional.
And also what was read in the world.
All together.
Of Mary Blitz Lang. And when it comes to Big Finish, she's the leader of the gang.
Gang, gang, gang.
So shut your mouth, pray silence here. Mary Blitz Lang.
A Blitz Lang.
I do need to point out that's nothing to do with me, that last sound effect. I don't know where that came from, Adam. I mean, seriously. I'm not impressed. I go to all that work and then you ruin it with that.
Yeah, really.
Mary, over to you.
Okay, well, as always, I'm watching a lot of basketball, so that takes up a lot of my evening time. But I've also been watching a series that's on HBO Max called Mayor of Winningham. And it's a really good, like, murder mystery detective thing, starring Kate Winslet, who the story takes place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in a very working class neighborhood. And she does a great job of fitting right in, you know, the accent and everything. She's definitely a total part of that genre. And it's a really good series. Very, you know, keeps you rolling. But the one thing that I just couldn't help noticing is that in every way, Kate Winslet is like the perfect Philadelphia working class, you know, factory kind of person, until she eats, because she sits there with her knife and fork in a very British manner and eats like a Brit. I said, aha, that gives you away.
We're saying that we've got good manners. Thanks, Mary. Give it a point for that.
And I watched a series on BritBox called Stonehouse, about a British politician who, I guess, faked his own death and tried to start a new life somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, of course, he was so bad at
all
this.
There's a documentary about that as well.
It's real. It's a real thing that happened.
It did.
Yeah.
Legendary.
It's based on a real guy who did all this, but he was so pathetic in every way. And it was Matthew McIntyre, I guess his name is, who was in, what, MI5 and a lot of things. He's really, really good in this. He's totally repellent. It's wonderful. And also on BritBox, I've been watching this comedy series called Here We Go, and I'm sure you guys must have seen this. It's hilarious. And the lead player is the lady who was in the IT Crowd.
Right.
I don't remember what her name is, but she and the whole family that are portrayed in this are so funny. They remind me of a series that I watched a couple of years ago called Mum. That was very funny, and it's also on BritBox.
You mean Catherine Parkinson?
Hey, have a look on BritBox for Stath Sells Flats. That's a really good series.
Yeah, so Kirby, if you're still getting BritBox, look up Here We Go.
For another year.
I'm sorry.
I paid for it for a year, so I've got it. Now, what's it called?
BritBox.
It's called Here We Go.
Oh, sorry.
It's the one that I've been watching recently, and the one that I just absolutely love. Funny, and the characters are just so, so wonderful. It's called Mum, M-U-M.
Yeah, I think Deb watched or has watched that series.
Manville is the last name of the lady who leads in Mum, and she's excellent.
Yeah. I'm confused. Is that the name of an episode or the name of a series?
No, it's the name of the series. The series is called Mum.
Okay.
Because it's about the Leslie Manville character. She's the one that they're referring to as Mum, and it's her crazy family around her that is just hysterical.
All right. Now you've got me thinking.
Basketball.
Yeah, sorry about the noise there. I had a cat decide to try and jump up on next to my desktop computer and knocked a whole bunch of stuff to the ground.
Oh, good for
including
you.
Including some Doctor Who DVDs.
Oh. Right, Mary.
Seriously?
Mary.
Tell the cat off badly, man.
Mary.
Now, in terms of Big I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Mary, I don't know if it's on BritBox, but have a look out for the Cockfields. It's Cockfields. Have a look at that.
It's not what it sounds like, Mary. It's fine.
I was about to say.
Cockfields, yeah?
Well, I think BritBox in the US must be different than the BritBox.
I don't know if it's on BritBox here, but have a look out for it, because it's a Channel 4 series.
That's why I'm calling up Kirby to look at these, because he's got the American BritBox.
Yeah. Well, have a look.
What's this thing called? Cock?
The Cockfields. The Cockfields. I'm saying it's a shame because it's a charming little series and it's set on the Isle of Wight and filmed on the Isle of Wight. So
I'll look it up and see if it's there.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay. But Here We Go is, right?
Hang on, probably.
It's riveting podcasting. This.
Okay, what's it called? Here We Go?
Here We Go. Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely.
And Mum.
Probably.
Did we ever talk about that thing that I bought from about the American Doctor Who convention scene that Ken Dietz on? Did we ever talk about that?
No.
Should we say yes? We did. Yes. Let's move on.
Okay. I'm just saying that.
No, we didn't. He is being Ben.
Well, I posted a thing about it. What should you call it on our group a while back. I just wondered if any of you guys have actually had a chance to see it. It's actually
Cockfield
very good.
Doesn't even come up on Just Watch, so it must
it's
not
an
exist.
American film. I'm very sure it's not on Prime or anything like that.
Spell
it just it must
Ken.
Be somewhere. But
spell it.
I T.
The IT crowd.
No. No, I can't remember. Here it is. It's called Doctor Who Am I? It's basically an infamous Doctor Who screenwriter is dragged back into the American universe.
That, yeah.
A documentary about finding a family in the unlikeliest of places. It's not.
So
it's
you're not going to tell me that other thing again.
What other thing?
I was looking up. Cockfields?
The Cockfields. Google The Cockfields.
I'm looking.
And see if it comes up with anything where you can watch it in America. And the same with Doctor Who Am I?
But when
which
you
is
Google
a charming
it,
thing
don't,
about
don't
Doctor
click
Who.
Images.
Pardon?
Don't click images when you click when you Google Cockfields.
But Doctor Who Am I is a charming documentary about the Doctor Who convention scene in the US. Like I said, Stephen Chapansky's in it, and so's Ken Deep. And I did pull Ken Deep's leg about that. He had to go to hospital and get it reset. Right then.
Neither of those comes up on Just Watch.
Wow.
Which means
that's no good, is it?
Not available in the US at all.
Doctor Who Am I is a British writer who was the son of the bloke in who played Doc Holiday in The Gunfighters. Actor, yeah. Do you remember him? It was his son. Anyway, right, so, sorry, Mary, we did interrupt you somewhat. Please continue.
Yes, we did.
I will finish up with saying in Big Finish is I've been listening to some older stories, all of which you have. Yeah. One is number 74 called Live 34. It's really good, really good. And one, it's number 30 called Seasons of Fear, and that's really good. And I've also been listening to Gallifrey, you know, more Gallifrey stories, which I believe you also have. So been doing some old stuff with Big Finish, not anything new at the moment.
You know, I might just dabble now. I listen to stuff while working before we open the shop up. After I've got bored of audiobooks, I think I might just dabble in some Big Finish.
Yeah, well, you should.
I think I should too. Thank you, Mary. Right, stuff coming through on the live feed. We have Alan T. Butcher, who says, just listen to the new Paul McGann Big Finish box set, Doctor Who, Time War 5. Cass featuring Cass, or is it Cass featuring Cass from Night of the Doctor?
Cass, sorry.
They do an amazing job realising the Time War in action. Oh, that's quite interesting. Then he says, Matthew McFadden. What's that? Who's that in relation to?
Oh, that's probably in relation to Stonehouse.
Oh, yeah, because he goes on to say, my dad claims he was offered a job by John Stonehouse, the politician Mary was talking about. And then, sorry, I forgot to say, this is interesting. My dad claims to have been offered a job by John Stonehouse, a politician Mary was talking about. I think he might have slightly...
Yeah, and Kirby Stonehouse is also on BritBox, and it's fascinating to watch, so...
Okay.
Look that one up too.
So, okay. Isabella's off work next Saturday, so we're hoping that we might be able to fit a trip to the cinema. I might have a film to talk about next week. She would have been here, but she hasn't watched anything. She says so. Apart from the stuff we watch while we're eating dinner, like tonight, what are we watching? The Masked Singer tonight when we were eating our dinner. I'm sure you don't want me to talk about The Masked Singer. So next time we'll be talking about Let's Kill Hitler, which is really weird considering that when it really went out, it was obviously a 6 month gap. So it's going to be quite interesting to pick it up straight away rather than have a 6 month gap. That's next Sunday.
I hope that our episode number 61 is available for me to listen to.
I did post a link on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast page, Kirby, for you, and I even tagged you on it.
I didn't post
on my own timeline, did I? I did post it there. Where's it gone? I'm just going to refresh the page.
I was doing other things.
I don't care. There's me.
But what I'm wondering is the next episode available?
Oh, here it is.
I will let you know.
Right, I'm going to click on the link I've posted on the page. It says for Kirby. Episode 60, which went out on the 6th of the 6th, 2011. Let's have a play, shall we? See what happens.
Her friend, so then she got the little embroidered thing out that had her name on as well and showed her that, which she did.
That's me. So it seems to be playing, Kirby.
They only dissolve into piles of goo when the signal's cut off. If
that sounds like you, Kirby. So there we go.
Yeah, sometimes I play these in the... Whoa, it's still not...
It's still not
Okay, it is working now.
I've just proved it's working.
I sometimes listen to these in the car when Fred is with me.
Yeah, I must admit, I find them quite good.
Sometimes I say what I'm going to say before I say it.
I'm quite glad that when I do listen back to old episodes, I do find them quite entertaining. Even the current ones that Ben's in are actually quite good fun.
I'm quite glad I don't listen back to old episodes.
Why?
Because I've got better things to do. Like listening to the indie rock disco radio.
I used to listen to it when I was here. Very good. Yeah, very good plug. But I used to listen to it in the car when I was driving a large ATV.
You used to do it in the car. Make the podcast.
I did. Yeah. Yes, but now I listen to Talk Sport in the car because there's lots of interesting sport happening at the moment.
Listen to anything sport in the car or any place else.
Shut up, Kirby, because if there's anything to do with curling, you'd be straight there. Oh, I don't like any sport. Of course, curling isn't a sport. It's a game, isn't it? Like darts.
Yeah, it's a game I watch every 4 years.
Talking of darts, I tell you what, we did watch when the Darts World Darts Championship, an amazing leg in which there was nine dart finish and an actual nine dart finish. Yeah, unforgettable. What a match that was.
there was Van Gogh in and Michael Smith.
And Michael Smith won the match, and it was a fantastic match.
And then he went on to win the tournament.
He did. That was, yeah, because that was the match, that was the final. But what a thing to do in the final of a tournament. Near the dark finish from the greatest player ever, Van Gerwen, and the champion. That other bloke's the best player ever, wasn't he? What's his name again?
Phil the Power Taylor.
There we go. I knew that would goad him into action.
Better than Van Gogh.
Of course he is. He's won more championships anyway. Anyway, we're getting
12.
We're getting slightly sidetracked here. I agree with you, Ben, by the way. So that's next week. Let's kill Hitler. Shall we go and kill Hitler, everybody? Let's kill Hitler. That's next week.
I'm glad you agree with the facts, Adam. That's good.
Thank you, Ben. Yes. Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye-bye.
This podcast strongly recommends you do not Google the Cockfields.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.